So you only understand when, if you only understand from a distance. And the way we try to explain that is that the Shlach HaKadosh says that the parsha of the week, the name of the parsha of the week, is significant because the Torah was not meant to be divided up into parshas. Torah is divided up into, I should say, sedra. Sedra means the order of the weekly portion, Torah portion. The parsha is a different thing. If you open up a chumash, you see what they do in the art scroll. They give you a little bit of a glimpse of what it looks like in a Torah scroll. So they'll divide up the paragraphs. So the Ram says that if you have one paragraph that's wrong, not only if one letter is wrong in the Torah, one paragraph is wrong in the Torah, that it's puzzle. Paragraph, it means, you notice there's some breaks that are in the middle of a line, some breaks at the end of a line. So, for example,
94.
Yeah, there you go. 94 is in the middle of a line. That's called a Parsha Sesuma, a closed Parsha. And a Parsha Psucha would be like on page 98. There's two of them. One at the top of the page, one at the bottom of the page. That means they leave a blank to the end of the line. That's a Parsha Psucha. That's an open and ended paragraph. The difference between Parsha Psucha and Parsha Sesuma is really amazing. It's really subsets. Basically, it's like Parsha Psucha is a brand new topic. So that's why it starts a new line. Parsha Stuma, which means it's a small break in the middle line, is like a subcategory of the whole Parsha. If you look at the Torah this way, it just totally opens up a whole new world. And because there's a lot of connections that don't seem to be connected in that are back to back in the same paragraph, for example. And so this is the way I like to learn the Chumash. And the Shlach HaKadosh says that the Parshios, the Sidros, you know, the names of the weekly portion, were made about 1,000 years ago. They had a yearly cycle. Just like Simchas Torah is about 1,000 years old. People think Simchas Torah is this ancient thing. Well, it's in Jewish history. It's very relatively recent. So Simchas Torah, it represents the idea that we go through a cycle every year. And it's a new thing, but what people don't understand is I had this thing with Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, there's a code there. When the 10 sons of Haman were hung, there's three letters that are small. Tav Shin Zayin. Tav Shin Zayin is the year that the Nuremberg trials occurred. And they wanted to say, and they hung 10 Nazis. So they want to say that's correlated to each other. So there's a book written in France called the Esther Code. So the Esther Code basically goes through these codes. There's a few codes that they look at, find in the Megillah. So the people who write essays debunking that, they think it was a very popular book for one point in time in France because it was cool. You know, you see these cool connections. So the people write articles from time to time, you know, debunking. They say it doesn't make sense. So I actually read an entire article, whole scholarly article, with someone debunking what this Esther Code said. And every single point he made was basically the idea that the original Megillah didn't have those codes. So that debunks it. But that, to me, that doesn't debunk it at all. Because the fact is today, our Megillahs today, and we know for sure the last 500 years, at least, have had those small letters. So why do we have a tradition of small letters? So obviously it's meant to be, even though it wasn't. It might have been original. I don't know if it's an original or not. I think it was, but let's say the evidence isn't that strong. But let's say it wasn't original, but it's what eventually happened. The same thing with the Parshas. The Parsha wasn't originally, the Torah wasn't originally made one-year cycle. It was created, simple story. It was created much later in Jewish history. But this is the way it ended up evolving. This is the way the Torah ended up evolving. And there's a truth to that. Original truth to what ends up happening. That's why the Parsha of the Week is significant. So the Shlach HaKadosh says the name of the Parsha, therefore, is not because it's one of the first few words of the Parsha. The name of the Parsha is because it summarizes the whole Parsha. So that's the approach we try to do, is try to look at the name of the Parsha, see why that's the title of the Parsha, and why that connects all the elements in the Parsha together, so we get a broader perspective on the messages that the Torah is trying to teach us. So this week is Lech Lecha. And it's interesting to note, Lech Lecha, same word twice. Pretty interesting. Lech Lecha. Exactly. In the Torah scroll, there's no difference. There's no vowel. So it's two letters, Lech and Lecha. There's a lot of very Hasidic drushes on this, but the gematria lech lecha is 50 and 50. There's a lot of what that means, 50-50. It's you and God, 50-50. There's a lot of interesting things you could come up with. But the most interesting factoid, idea about this parsha, is that we know that Avraham Avinu, in our tradition, is known as the Baal Chesed. He was the one who started the attribute of Chesed. Matter of fact, the Medrash says that the attribute of Chesed said, "What do you need meaning for? You have Abraham. Abraham he embodied the trait of Chesed." And the Rambam goes on to describe this incredible person, who was he was the single person in his generation in history, not just in his own generation, but in history. He was the original iconoclast. He went up and smashed all the idols. He realized that God makes sense. He started questioning about life. So he was a scientific questioner. And he discovered God, realized that there's only one God and idols are blasphemous, and he destroyed all the idols. And he fought his entire society. He was a iconoclast means a catcher in the rye. An iconoclast is someone who's a rebel. But really what it means is, the word means iconoclast. Break icons, break idols. He literally was an icon, he was the original iconoclast. He's a unique person. They call him Ivri. Why Ivri? Because all the world stands on one side of Me'aver Echad. He stands on one side of the river. He stands on the other side of the river. So he was completely different from everybody else. And he had this unique style, and he went around bringing people closer to God, telling them to make blessings on food, and tell them, where did you get the food from? He was a Chabad. He used to Makar people, get people closer to God. That's who he was. That's what everyone describes of him. But the amazing thing is that that's all in the oral tradition. Doesn't make it not true, but it's an oral tradition. But not one word is mentioned in Chumash. Not one word is mentioned about this. It's amazing. We try to fit it in. There's nothing really nice to say about Avraham Avinu in this week's Parsha. So they turn to Vayera next week's Parsha, and then he brings in the angels. And if you learn that story, you see that he wasn't nice there either. So people make this whole thing of Rambam being so nice. You can't find anything nice about him to say about him. And it seems like the Christians say that Lech Lecha was just a random thing. He just picked a guy, picked anyone. Abraham was a random person. Because all it says is God said to Abraham, Lech Lecha. Let's say who he was, who is this guy Abraham? They should give it a little introduction. So to me, that's the biggest question you ask. The Torah always has major questions that are just staring in the face. So that's how you understand what Torah is trying to say, because you think you understand what it's saying on the surface, but it's her saying ha ha. It's really much deeper. You got to look deeper into the subject matter, not just read it. So that's, I think, this is one of the main questions that comes up in the sixth parsha, and it gets worse, because not only is it not about Chesed and it doesn't say anything nice about him, but it's some of the stuff is downright terrible. He says, for instance. He says to his wife, they went. They had a famine, it says, and then he went to Egypt, and it says that he says to his wife, "You're beautiful, and they're gonna see the Egyptians are gonna see me with you, and say this is his wife, so let's kill him and you leave the people alive, because they were very firm. They didn't sleep with someone else's wife, so in order to avoid that, they killed the man." And they slept with his wife. So they were very, very religious people. They commit murder instead of adultery. They don't want to commit adultery, so they commit murder. So he says, please tell them that you're not my wife, you're my sister. That way, they won't kill me. Right? It says, chaisa nafshi v'glalech, that I should live because of you. But Rashi says that it's more than that. He didn't just say he wanted to live because of her. The first thing he says, and this is before even being alive, he says, "Leman nitzav li ba'avurech." So Rashi says, "What's leman nitzav li ba'avurech?" So in English, it says, "That it may go well with me. That it may go well with me." So Rashi says, "What does Rashi say?" Yitnu li matanos. They should give me gifts. Right? In other words, please whore yourself out, basically, so that I can get money. And that's what happened. He got rich because of this. So basically, he's pimping out his wife. That's exactly what he did. That's a really great guy. Really nice guy. And not only that, you think he would have some gratitude for her. At the end of Parsha, when God promises him children, he says, what do I need children for? I have Yishmael. Yishmael Yichel Lefanecha. Here. It's on page 74. So God says this romantic thing. Your wife Sarai, no longer be called Sarai. He's Sarishma, her name is Sarah. Because now, basically, God had to change her name because Sarai couldn't have children, as the Medrash says. But Sarah could have children. So it's in order for her to have children, he had to change her name. That's why he says it's right before the promise of children. I'm going to give you a son from her. And we're going to bless them, and they're going to be great nations. And Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed. He says, how can it be a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman have children? And then he says, the first thing he says is, what do I need Sarah to have a child? I already have a kid, Ishmael. What do I need it for? So God has to tell him, what about your wife? Your wife doesn't have children, so you care only about yourself? Incredible. He's a really terrible husband. I mean, this guy, he really didn't treat him very well. And if you look at carefully at the World War, the First World War started in this parasha, it's really Avram was started the war. So this peaceful, loving, kind person is doing all this terrible stuff. There's more things in here, but basically the bottom line is that it's not what we would think of Avram Avinu in terms of who he was. So I think that this is a long topic, so we're not going to do the whole thing, but the main idea is that I think what the Torah is telling us is that chesed is considered to be a wonderful trait, but by itself it's very destructive. And God's first message about Avram is not, he didn't want to be, we have to know he was about chesed, know that about him, but chesed is not what it seems for many reasons. And one main reason is because chesed, it says in Mishlei, King Solomon says in Mishlei, it says, those who hate gifts will live. Hate gifts, you'll live. So basically, it means if you love gifts, you'll die. That's why the inverse is true also. Because chesed is when you give. And it's used as a word in Vayikra, Parsha Kedoshim. It says chesed hu. Chesed hu. This is a chesed. What could it be described? This is a chesed, some wonderful thing. Sleeping with your sister. You sleep, if you have sexual relations with your sister, that's called chesed. So Rashi says, what does that mean, chesed? Cherpa. Cherpa means it's an embarrassment. So what chesed means embarrassment? Why? So the Gemara says that a poor person who eats at someone else's table, they call it na'am de chisufa. The Yerushalmi says this. Bread of shame. If you get something for free, you're embarrassed. You don't want that. So cherpa means you're embarrassed. So it's incest is the word for chesed, because it says when Arishon was created, he created Eve, Adam Chava. So it says it's not good for a person to be alone, right? So it says the same exact words as Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu at the beginning of the sixth parasha, God says, Lechacha, go from you, Mi'atzchem, Milatchem, Beisavicha. Leave your parents' house. Go become independent. Lech lecha. Go walk on your own. Go on your own. At the beginning of the Torah, in Gan Eden, it's exactly the same words that were used by Adam Arishon when God created Eve. He says he brought him all the animals, and then he says he gave names, but he didn't connect to any of the animals. He didn't connect emotionally to any of the animals. So he says, Lutove, So it says, therefore, a person should leave his father and mother's house. Yazav Adam is Abiv Ishto, Vidavik Ishto, and connect to your wife. So it means leaving your parents' home is really important. The Ramban says that pasuk tells you don't involve yourself with incest. Incest means you stay in your family's home. You do what's comfortable. You do what's easy. The easy way out. That's chesed. Chesed is basically you're not becoming your own individual self. You're not becoming a unique individual. You're basically hanging out in your parents' basement until you're 50 years old. You're not becoming independent. You're not becoming unique. You're not dealing with life, difficulties of life. So the message that God wants to give to us in Parash Lech Lecha is that it's very nice that Avraham Avinu is about chesed, very nice, but chesed by itself is not enough. Chesed by itself kills people. If Avraham Avinu is very giving, it's very nice, but if you're too giving and you coddle people and they become trust fund babies, they never become anything. The only thing where you come is through struggling with life. Lech Lecha means go out and walk through life and become your own person. And that's what it's about. And if you notice, amazing, the structure of this parasha is absolutely incredible. God promises him three things. So you think, what will God promise to Abraham, this holy spiritual guy? You know, the world to come, spirituality. He doesn't mention any of that. God says three things. Rashi points out, God says three things. He says, Shloshel brachas halolu sheftichu. God promised Abraham three things. Al habanim, that he should have children. Al mamon, that he should have money. Be'al shem, he should become famous. That's all three things. Three things that God cared about: money, fame, and kids. Imagine. It doesn't say about spirituality, morality, nothing about that. Money, kids, and fame. Fame is important. Jews have to be famous. It's very important. So, and the fact is, that's what happened. We Jews are associated with money. We're the rich ones, right? We're associated with fame. We're not associated with children, but we're associated with prominent individuals that are. We have our own nation. We have our own country, our own nation. The only one that lasted all these years through everything, through the land of Israel. And that's God promised him the land of Israel in this week's parsha as well. So basically, the first paragraph, we were talking about paragraphs. The first big paragraph, there's three big paragraphs in Parash Lecha. This is the structure of Lecha. First paragraph tells how Avraham Avinu became rich. The second big paragraph tells us how Avraham Avinu became famous because he started this first world war, and he basically won the war, and he became world famous. The last paragraph, little paragraph, is that when God promised him children. So you see, that's the structure of the parasha. So basically, God's telling us, before you start doing things selflessly, realize that I don't want you to be selfless. Because selfless means you have no self. Selfless means no self. We use the word loosely. But the word selfless is very telling. It means do something without yourself. I heard someone give a speech recently. I went to a birthday party. And the person gave a speech and said, you know why the birthday person is special? Because it's true that he does things for his family. It's true that he does things for his parents. But he does things for strangers. That shows. I was thinking to myself, exactly the opposite. What really matters is what you do for your own life, not someone else's life. There's the people in your life that matter to you, your parents, your family. That's part of who you are. That's who first you are. So developing yourself as an individual in that context is much more important than just random people that you give to. Because giving kills. Only in the context of a relationship where there's a give and take, there's so if you're that's why people, by the way, marriages fall apart. Why? Because one of the main reasons, I was listening to this, amazing therapist. She does like all this, Esther, she's a Jewish woman, amazing, she's a very famous psychologist on YouTube. I forgot her last name. She's from Poland. So she said an amazing thing, really amazing thing. She said, the reason relationships fall apart is because you take it for granted. Basically, the reason why you're able to say nasty things to your spouse is because it's not new, it's not fresh. It's just you take the person for granted. You basically will say things you never would say on a first date because you take the person for granted. Basically, what I'm saying is that your main relationships are what make you yourself. What self development, becoming yourself as an individual. Random people on the street, that's being nice to people, that's giving to people in not the context of the relationship. It doesn't mean anything because it's not about you. So relationships end up becoming we look at relationships as just we're randomly giving to strangers. But really, what it's about is that you're involved in the relationship. It's not just that you're giving to someone else. It's that you're giving in the context of you. So relationships make giving you part of your own definition. It's not just giving. And when it's not connected to a relationship, it's just giving someone else. That's a killer. So that's what God's trying to tell us, that really, in order to fulfill chesed, you have to do what's known as gemilas chesed. Means the word comes from the word it means loving kindness, but the word chesed means loving kindness too. So gemilas chesed means loving kindness in a specific way. Gemilas comes from the word gamal, which means a camel. What's a camel's significance? A camel's significance is it's the only animal that's independent. So it drinks from the water source, doesn't need it anymore. So gemilas chesed is giving chesed to someone else, but preserving their individuality. And the Rambam says the best way you could do this is give someone a job. That's best chesed you could do for someone. Because chesed, when it's just giving money to someone, you can give someone a fish, big deal, they'll eat. But if you give someone the ability to fish, you've created an individual. But your giving creates an individual. That only can be understood if you understand first that you are the most important person in your life. That's not being selfish. It's saying that this is a fact. When I do something for someone else, it's for me. I can pretend it's not. I can pretend I'm selfless, but it's not possibly selfless. It's for you. So Lech Lecha is saying, Avraham Avinu, the first thing you have to know is not that you're a giving person, you should give. First thing you have to know is this life is about you. It's only about you. And there's nothing you can do about that. We're like the mission pick up, it says, we're born alone, we die alone. We're not connected to someone else inherently. And giving to someone else is not, and the fact that we all come from God is not necessarily gonna last, gonna be a philosophy that lasts. But what will last is the understanding that, the first thing you have to understand is this world is about you developing yourself. And if you understand your relationships in that context, then you'll be motivated to make the relationships work. Because you care about, you're invested in it. That's the point, you're invested. But if you just give freebies to everybody, it's not in the context of anything. It's just giving randomly. It's not going to get you anywhere. So God is telling Abraham, Lech Lecha. So walk your life, but make sure it's for yourself. Because if you don't do it for yourself, you're not invested in yourself. You're not going to end up being able to give. So you know, it's like on the airplane. It says the mask. The oxygen mask. Put it on yourself first, and then put it on your child. But I love my child so much. But if you don't have a self, you can't have a relationship. There's no such thing. So these are different ways to explain the idea that selfhood is vitally important for your life, for yourself, but also for your relationships. It's not indiscriminately giving chesed is a chepa, is embarrassment. It's shameful because people who just get things for free. You're killing them. The people, basically, they're embarrassed, they're ashamed. They didn't earn what they got. So the messages of Lech Lecha is that you have to know that life is about you. And if you don't know that, you can't go on in Jewish history. You can't go on in learning theology. You have to know that this world is about developing yourself as an individual and becoming the best individual you could possibly become. And even if it means you learn along the way that your wife is important, your wife is not. So he just the mindset of chesed is the same mindset of treating your spouse as taking them for granted. Basically, it's just we're all one. Like, my wife isn't special. We're all children of God. But it's not true. Your wife is special. And you have to treat her differently. And this is part of Abraham's growing pains. That's the amazing thing about the Torah. The Torah is not afraid to criticize our forefathers because they were human beings. The Torah is real. My Rashiva, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, used to say that one of the pieces of evidence that the Torah is written by God is that we criticize our forefathers. Because no other book in history, if you look in history, nobody in history ever wrote anything negative about themselves, about their forefathers. If you want to find something negative about Egyptian history, you got to look at Babylonian history. If you want to find something negative about Babylonian history, you got to look at Moabite history. But no one's going to say something bad about themselves. But the Jewish Torah is full of criticisms of our forefathers. And that self is he says evidence that God wrote the Torah, because we would never write this about ourselves. It must be that God forced us to accept it. Or he said either that or an anti-Semite wrote it and somehow we accepted it. But it wasn't from us. But basically, so there are negative things about Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu is going through his lechacha. He's walking through life, and life is about growing. You can't be stagnant. That's what God loved about Abraham. It says his halakha funny tumim. And this week's parasha says that he gave him the mitzvah of bris milah, circumcision, and he said, "Walk in front of me, and you'll be perfect." So the Medrash says that as opposed to Noach. Noach, he says, God, Noah walked with God. God, Noach needed to hold God's hand. Abraham walked in front of God. He was a walker. So that's, by the way, that's the same with the halacha. The word halacha comes from the same word as lechacha. Halacha means to walk. Because halacha is the same thing. People think halacha means there's a rule. You got to keep the rule. Nothing could be further from the truth. Halacha means that your Torah is evolving with the change of times. That's why halacha means to walk. You're really walking through life and trying to see how Torah applies to these situations. That means yesterday's situation is not going to be the same as today. No one knows that more than our generation. The incredible thing about Rav Moshe Feinstein was he was able to take principles from thousands of years ago and apply it to millions of cases that came up today that we never dreamed would come up before. And it wasn't the answers that were important what he did. The importance of what he did was he showed us that the Torah can evolve not because it's changing its principles, but because the Torah must walk with us. The halacha means you walk with us, and he taught us a principle. He taught us that the rules I'm saying I'm being creative. I'm showing you the Torah really can be applied to all if you use your creativity, your own individual approach to Torah, and you could apply Torah to all aspects of life that come up that you never heard of before, and that's what Moshe Feinstein taught us. So halacha really is the same idea. Torah is not meant to be stagnant, not meant to be in a box. It's supposed to grow with us. Life, we're supposed to grow with Torah with life, and that's really what lecha is telling us. The whole parasha is telling us that Avraham Avinu was a person who loved giving. God said, "You know what, Avraham Avinu? It's very nice. But in order to have a real relationship, you have to first focus on yourself. And because if you don't focus on yourself, then you're not gonna be able to choose a relationship. You're not gonna be able to give, really give. You're not gonna be able to be generous. Because if you do generosity without yourself invested in a relationship, is murdering people, literally murdering people, and I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not going to even write in my book. What I want you to know is that you developing yourself is the most important element of your life, of what life. That's what life is about. And I think this is a very incredibly powerful message to start up the story of the Jewish people, because again, this, like we said before, this is not something that just learn the surface, and it has so many ramifications in so many different aspects of our lives. You think about it, so much that this could mean to us in our daily life. So I think it's appropriate that Avraham Avinu was the one who taught us this, because he was the premier forefather. An Av means prototype. It doesn't mean father. is means prototype. Perkei Avos, Maseches Avos, is about prototypical ideas that were taught to us by prototypical sages who were the leaders of each generation. That's what Avraham was, the ultimate of. He was the forefather of all forefathers. He taught us the principles that we need to stand on. And this principle that I'm telling you today is the principle the whole Torah stands on. Every different sprouts out in a million directions, but this is the principle the world stands on. That God created a world where he wants to give, but he can't give it to us unless we earn it. Because if we don't earn it, we don't have a self to choose to love God back, and there's no point in the creation. The whole point of creation is that God put us in a place, an environment where everyone asks, why is it bad in this world? This world has one purpose. It's not to give pleasure. This world is a world that the purpose of it is that it's an environment in which we can become ourselves. And that's what Lech Lecha tells us. Lech Lecha. Every Jew has seen what Avraham Avinu did. He walked into himself. And that's the journey of what our lives has to be. Okay. If there are any questions?
Let's go. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you for coming.